Let's read together Exodus chapter 13. In this chapter, we have the dedication of the firstborn to the Lord and the guidance of the people by God's pillar of cloud and fire. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 16. Exodus chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast. It is mine." And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, 'This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt.' It shall be a sign to you on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that you shall say to him, 'By strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.' And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign on your hand, and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Exodus 13, with some background notes. In Exodus chapter 12, we saw the institution of the feast of Passover and unleavened bread at the time of the Exodus from Egypt. Now here at the beginning of chapter 13, we have a review of the importance of these two feasts and how they were to be kept annually when the people came into the good land that God was giving them. Notice from verse 5 that the land of Canaan was previously the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, but now the Lord was giving it to the children of Israel. So the Jews have a biblical right to the ancient land of Canaan. This land was never given to the Palestinians. It was given to the Hebrews. The Jews are the true Palestinians. They did not steal the land, and they are not occupying land that they don't have a right to occupy. The biblical right to the land, of course, does not justify the present secular state of Israel today in killing its Arab neighbors, who still occupy some of the land originally given to Israel. However, it does justify Israel in defending itself from terrorists and those who would eliminate the present state of Israel. And we know that in the future, the Lord will restore all the land that he originally gave to the nation of Israel when the nation of Israel turns back to the Lord. Notice from verse 8 how parents were to use the occasion of the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread as opportunities to explain God's redemption of his people out of Egypt. Verse 8, once again, "And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, 'This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt.'" What a lesson for us. We should take every opportunity possible to explain to our children and grandchildren God's plan of redemption. Are we doing that? The celebration of Christian holidays such as Christmas and Easter and the celebration of the Lord's Supper are excellent opportunities to follow this pattern. Verse 9, "And it shall be a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt." The Jewish use of phylacteries, even to this present day, is based on verses 9 and 16 of this chapter. as well as on passages in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, do you know what phylacteries are? Phylacteries are small, hard leather pouches containing scripture, particularly the Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. These phylacteries are bound by long leather straps on the foreheads and forearms of Jewish worshipers. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. So doctrinal teaching point number one, God's people should dedicate their children to the Lord. God's people should dedicate their children to the Lord. Because God had saved the firstborn of the children of Israel from death in Egypt, the firstborn were to be given to God in consecration, both humans and animals. The firstborn animals were to be given to the Lord as sacrifices. The firstborn humans were obviously not sacrificed, but rather redeemed. We learn from Numbers chapter 18 that the firstborn were redeemed or bought back by giving 5 shekels of silver to the Lord's work. Numbers 18. We see in verse 13 here that the firstborn of unclean animals, like the donkey, were not to be sacrificed, but rather redeemed with the sacrifice of a lamb, a clean animal, and if not, the donkey had to be killed. We learn from Numbers chapter 18 that unclean animals could also be redeemed by giving 5 shekels of silver to the work of the Lord. So you see that there was no middle ground or getting around the law in reference to these unclean animals. They were either redeemed or put to death. Certainly we have a spiritual lesson here. As sinners, we are unclean people. We must either be redeemed or put to death, eternal death. There is no middle ground or getting around God's laws. Either you come to Christ who paid the price of your redemption, or you will die in your sins and suffer eternal death under the wrath of God. Let me read the verses in Numbers chapter 18 that reiterate these laws concerning the firstborn. Numbers 18, verses 15 through 17. This was addressed to Aaron, the high priest. Everything that first opens the womb of all flesh which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours, that is, given to the priest. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed, that is, the unclean animals, and those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation, for 5 shekels of silver. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, the firstborn of a goat, these are clean animals, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Numbers 18, verses 15 through 17. Certainly a lesson for us today in these laws concerning the firstborn is our doctrinal point, right? God's people should dedicate their children to the Lord. We are not talking here about infant baptism or some religious ritual. No. But when children are born into the families of believers, we should recognize that they are a gift from the Lord. And in our minds and hearts and prayers, we should give them back to God. Pray that God would take their lives and use them for His glory. Pray that we would not selfishly manipulate our children for our own purposes. We should follow the pattern of Mary and Joseph that we see in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. Let me read those verses. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Luke 2, 21 through 23. Notice the quotation here of Luke 2, 23 from Exodus 13. You notice that? Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. God's people should dedicate their children to the Lord. Doctrinal point number two. God's people should follow the direction of the Lord. God's people should follow the direction of the Lord. Verses 17 through 22. Exodus 13, beginning now in verse 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people should change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, For he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God led his people through the wilderness by means of a pillar of cloud by day, which became a pillar of fire by night. This pillar not only guided the children of Israel, but it reminded them and assured them of God's presence. It also protected them, as we'll see in chapter 14. So we see from these verses that the children of Israel were not some ragtag band of fugitives fleeing from Egypt. No, they left in orderly ranks, in martial array, as we see in verse 18. And they took the bones of Joseph with them to be buried in the land of promise, as Joseph had requested in Genesis chapter 50. And they followed the direction of the Lord. Notice verse 21 again. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Notice, the Lord went before them to lead them. So what a lesson for us. The Lord promises to give us direction in this life if we will follow him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Do you remember the Sunday school chorus that goes like this? The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. God's people should follow the direction of the Lord. Practical application from Exodus 13. Remember, the shortest way is not always the best way. Remember, the shortest way is not always the best way. Verses 17 and 18, once again. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. We see in these verses that God purposely did not lead his people along the Mediterranean coast on the ancient Via Maris road. That was certainly the shortest way to Canaan, and the way that many Holy Land tour buses follow today as they go from Egypt to Israel. But there were Egyptian forts and forces in that direction, and the Lord did not want his people to change their minds when they saw war. Besides, God had promised Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3:12 that he would bring the children of Israel to Mount Sinai. Remember that? And of course, the Lord wanted to further show the children of Israel his power and protection in the great miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. So the Lord did not lead his people in a straight line from Goshen to Canaan. Now, do you see the practical application for us? We always tend to like the straight line, the shortest way in life, don't we? But God's ways are higher than our ways, Isaiah 55, 9. God has valuable lessons to teach us about himself and about life. Remember, the shortest way is not always the best way.